If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
Good morning, Rob LaFrenz. Good morning, Good morning, Eli Burke.
Good morning.
Law joins us once again. For all your, if you've been hit by a truck, you need Eli Burke.
I'm your guy.
I'm telling you, you should think about going back to law school.
I got to start, right?
Well, you got the good name. I heard a rumor, Eli Burke, that you are going to the Bears game tonight.
I am. I'm beyond excited. It's my first time ever seeing the Bears at Soldier Field. I can't wait.
Wow. That's exciting. And it's not going to be brutally cold tonight.
Right. That's the best part.
Yeah.
Only four layers is enough for me.
Today, yeah, right. engineering our shows, as last week as well, is Bob Fukuda. And we were talking off the air, and he said that there's a drink debuting tonight at Soldier Field.
I've heard about this.
What's that?
I have heard about this. I saw this yesterday. It was really interesting.
Uh-huh.
I want to go to the game just for this drink.
A Malort-infused hot chocolate. Mm. No thanks.
Keep you warm.
No. It's like eating dirty socks, drinking dirty socks.
Gross. That sounds gross.
Have you ever had Malort? It's not even, like, our son Quinn, who's 32 years old, he's like, oh, I love Malort. I go, do you love Malort, really?
Yeah,
or do you just love the idea? I think it's something you put on when you're trying to peel paint.
There's amaretto in there, too.
Well, amaretto, I'll take, but Malort?
And the salted caramel marshmallow.
Well, that sounds delicious.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah. Salted caramel on anything would be... Mm-hmm. At Costco, they sell it. Do you ever get those? Mary Beth buys these. The
chocolates.
Salted, dark chocolate, salted caramel.
Oh, they're so good.
Mm,
good
delicious.
Night, Gracie. That is just, you have one, and you're like, do I want another one? And no, because they're very rich, and they're delicious. Mm. I highly recommend them. Yeah, that's good. So will you have one of those, Eli, do you think? Just to say you had it? You're a young guy.
I feel like I kind of have to just to say I did it.
Right.
I'll report back.
Here's the thing.
I bet they sell out.
Here's the thing. I'm going to make this offer to you, and this is a straight-up offer. You're hearing it on the radio. I want you to buy it. I will buy you that. I will Venmo you the money for what it is to – I don't have Venmo, but somebody will. So you can try it as a – and I want a picture and everything, and we'll – And you will report back.
Sounds like a deal.
Right?
I love these tasks.
Right?
Like,
this is a pretty good job.
To watch
yeah,
show.
Sorry. I got to have the Malort hot chocolate. My boss, I'm not your boss, but you know what I mean. I hate my job.
I mean, if that's what my job entails, it sounds like a pretty great job. That's
Take one for the team, Eli.
Yeah, right. And Rob, I'm assuming you, like me, are going to be watching the game on TV.
I will be watching on TV in a nice, comfy, warm home, yes.
Yeah, right. Our youngest son, who's in grad school in New York, he's coming home this afternoon, and I'm picking him up at the airport around 5, and I was talking to him this week, and he said, hey, Dad, I need you to do me a favor. He has a friend named Eli, and he's like, I'm going to Eli's house we're going to watch the game. Can you just drop me off at his house? I go, yeah, and could you pick up a 12-pack of beer for me to get there? I'm like, sure. It's working out great for me. I'm like the Uber, but I'm not picking him up.
No.
He's on his own on that one.
Unless he has too many of those beers.
Right, exactly, exactly, exactly.
My daughter is in her Mary Poppins tonight.
Oh, right.
I mean,
well, you had a performance last night, right?
And then today, and then one tonight, but I'm the only one going tonight.
Is she Mary Poppins?
Everyone else is like,
what do you mean you're the only one going tonight?
Honey, we love you so much. But the Packer Bear game is on. We're gonna go to the first two tonight. Mommy's gonna be on her own.
Oh my god! Wow.
That is
the first thing she's gonna tell her therapist years from now. I was in this Mary Poppins show, and it was like my best performance. And my only my mom was there. My dad was cheering on the Bears.
No, they
or no,
were
the
real
Packers.
Loud last
excuse
night.
Me.
Oh yeah. I will tell you though, David said last night, word for word, I'm scared to death of the Bears. What's first?
Well, it's funny. I've been reading a lot about it because I don't want to get too... I was at the Bear-Packer game at Lambeau. I don't think, Eli, you were here after that game.
Yeah, we last talked before then.
Right, which, by the way, I had nothing to do with their loss. Like, everybody's, like, texting, you, they lost because you went to the game. I don't buy in any of that.
Wow, that's harsh.
Don't say that. Like, my son, Quinn, is so superstitious when I'm like, oh, my gosh, if they make this play, don't say that because you're not going to make it. What I say doesn't make a difference. I will go with what the Packer fan said to me at the end of the game. He turned around. He was a really nice guy. And he goes, well, we got this one. He goes, but I don't think we'll beat you twice.
Nice.
And this guy was very knowledgeable. But, you know, anything can happen. That's, you know.
Yep.
Did you stay for the whole game?
The whole game.
Nice.
Well, you know, it was sad at the end, but.
Yes.
It was, Rob, have you been?
I've not been to Lambeau, no, but I've been to many a cold Bears game.
I mean, this is, and I was talking to a guy yesterday, an electrician that was doing some work with me, and we were talking about Lambeau. He's a Bears fan, and we were both like, it is a beautiful park. It's a beautiful ballpark.
Yeah.
You got to go. I think everybody needs to go to Lambeau at some point. It really is well done and special, and it was a lot of fun. And quite frankly, the Packer fans are awesome. They're just really nice people. They obviously are rooting for the wrong team, but, you know, but they're nice about it.
They'll learn. They're learning.
And Lindsay, her patent answer now is, I miss Don.
I told her. Take calls over here. Line one.
Well, we're in the holiday spirit. We're going to do a lot of Christmas rejoins today. And then later on this morning, probably about 9:30, you may remember that years ago we did a star-studded version of Twas the Night Before Christmas, which I always find to be very fun and special. Some voices, newly retired voices even, on this WGN legendary voices participate in the reading of Twas the Night Before Christmas. We're going to do that. I guess, Lindsay, let's do it after 9 o'clock.
Do the WGN one.
The WGN one, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The
we
WGN.
Have multiple
one.
Here.
We do multiple have multiple ones, right? Exactly. And so we'll do that later on this morning, kind of get you in the spirit. 857-557-4 Lou 857-557-4568 is our phone number. Let's get to the phone lines now and speak with Francis in Joliet. Hi, Francis.
Good morning.
Before we start talking, by the way, you are our first call. Congratulations. You're starting the day with a win for being the first call. You get a choice of Mr. Floor cleaning products, wood floor, cabinetry, countertop, tile, natural stone, or vinyl floor. Mr. Floor products have been cleaning up Chicagoland for over 35 years. Get 20% off at MrFloor.com with promo code HOUSESMARTS. Congratulations, and how may I help you?
I have a picture window. It's 1968 or so old. Built in 68 or so, and along the bottom of the window, it's a thermal pane, and it's, over the years, the moisture from humidity, and it's kind of chewed up the wood's not bad, the trim.
Yeah.
It's honey oak stain, but right up against the window, whatever they used back in those days for a sealer, I don't know if it was a putty or a caulk, it's kind of really disintegrated, and I wanted to clean that out without damaging the seal on the window, and then clean it out, and then somehow come back and refill that. I don't know if I would use a caulk gun of some sort, some kind of caulking in there.
Yeah.
And then if there's a color it would match, or when I caulk it, I'll have to see if you can put that stain over the top of it again to make it look better.
Well, you're not going to stain the caulking, but what you could do is, do you have to do any kind of repair to the wood itself, or no?
Just sanding, I believe.
Okay.
I got a couple little puppy toenail marks in there, but I can.
Right. So you're going to sand it, you're going to restain it, and then probably what I would do is wherever the, if you're going to caulk anything next to the glass, I would just use a clear caulking, right? That way, but that's after you do the staining, because the caulk will not accept the stain. It'll accept paint, but not stain. So do all your, once you scrape away anything you have there, then I would use tape around the glass, because you're going to get stain on the glass, and then you're going to be there with a razor blade pulling it all off. It'll be a huge pain in the butt. Use that, use the, I really like the green, that frog tape for painting. And it does a really nice job on glass. And so you're going to apply that and then use a putty knife to set it. You know, use the putty knife to draw across it. And then do the staining, get that all set once it's all done. And pull that off and then use a clear caulking, like an acrylic clear that'll go on white. You can tool it with your thumb, get it nice and smooth, and then you should be good to go.
Another concern I had was when I'm cleaning this out, can I damage that seal at the bottom of the window if I go too deep? I don't know how deep I go.
Well, the seal of the window, the seal against the trim is really not the seal of the glass. The seal of the glass is between the two panes. So you would have you have to get, if you can imagine, it's like two pieces of bread, right? And then there's a frame, it's a frame around the outer edge of it, that's where the seal is. On the outside, it's not a problem.
Okay, great.
Yeah, not a problem.
Sounds good.
All right, appreciate you calling this morning. 857-557-4LOU. 6:21 in the morning. You're listening to House Smarts Radio. Happy holidays. We'll take a quick break and be right back. 857-557-4568. This is Fred in Algonquin. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Lou.
How may I help you, sir?
Having a basement leakage problem. We've been in the house for over 30 years, and what's recently happened, water is filling up in one of the window wells, and the water's starting to leak in around the window, in that window well. And so I actually had someone out to, come out and propose some solutions to it.
Right.
And what they had proposed was to actually drill a hole through the foundation wall underneath the window well, put in a drain, and then, have that drain and PVC piping direct the water to my sump pump.
Okay.
And it's not an ideal solution. First of all, I was concerned about, putting additional holes in the foundation wall.
Holes in your boat, right? I get it, right?
Exactly. And then to get to the sump pump, part of the basement is finished.
Right.
So there, and actually was finished by, 2x2s. So, it would, either if they wanted to put it against the concrete wall, they'd either have to tear that out or they'd have to do some zigging and zagging to, bring it to the sump pump. But I was just curious about your thoughts about that solution, as opposed to if there'd be some external solution, drainage outside.
Yeah, so here's my question, Fred. You said you've lived there 30 years and this is new? This is all new?
Yes. It happened a month.
Go ahead.
Month ago, and prior to that, there's never an issue.
Okay, and this window well, I'm assuming you've got an egress window, escape window to get out of there?
No, it's a smaller window.
Like up high?
Yes.
You can't get out of this window. And then, so the window well's not that deep?
No.
Right? And there's to the best of your knowledge, there's no drain in there already?
There is a drain. The other day when it was raining,
right,
I actually, see the water leaking in.
Right.
Yes. No, there is a drain, but the window well still fills. You could see the water running in.
And nobody has proposed trying to clear the drain? I mean, that drain probably already goes to your sump pump.
They suggested that, but they said because it's a corrugated plastic drain,
right,
if they tried to put anything down it, it would probably just tear things up and it would collapse.
Okay, hold on. I want to finish this conversation, so I want you to do me a favor. Hold on one second, okay? Because I need to go to news.
Sure.
But we'll come up with a solution before we're zigging and zagging and digging holes and drilling holes, okay? So don't go anywhere.
Where's Davis Junction? Well, you know where Rockford is, don't you?
I do.
Okay, we're just right south of Rockford, about 10 miles.
Oh, very nice. I've probably driven by it a million times.
I didn't get that, sir. What did you say?
I said I've probably driven by it a million times.
Yes. Okay, I have a mold problem in my basement, I think.
Okay.
I have a family room down there, and when the kids were there, we always had Christmas and everything, but they're all gone, and I haven't had any heat down there. I've had a dehumidifier down there, but I got mold on the plaster.
Hmm.
How do I take care of that?
Is it a lot, or is it just certain areas, sir?
Just certain areas. It's not all over certain areas. What I did, I took some Lysol and put it in a paint roller and rolled them spots, and it seemed like it kind of took care of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering what else I could do.
Do you have a pen or a pencil available? Because I'm going to give you some really good stuff that will kill that mold on a porous surfaces.
Okay.
I want you to go to your local hardware store and ask them for a bottle of Conchrobium. C-O-N.
Just a minute. Let me write this down.
Yes. No problem.
Okay.
C-O-N.
What? B-O-N.
No, C as in cat. C-O-N.
Yeah.
C-R.
Yeah.
O.
B-R.
C as in cat again.
Uh-huh.
R, O, B as in boy, I, U, M.
I, U, N?
I, U, M as in Mary.
Okay.
Conchrobium.
Conchrobia. Okay.
Close enough.
And that's a
Conchrobium mold control.
Mold control.
Right. So if you head to the hardware store and say, I'd like a bottle of this. Now, here's how you're going to use it, sir. You're going to spray this onto the molded, mildewy areas and just coat it and leave it alone. Let it dry.
Just spray it on and leave it alone.
Once it dries, take a little nylon brush or, you know, like a little scrubbing brush maybe that you have, and brush off any of the mold that's on there.
Okay.
Then,
once
you're like, oh, this cleans up pretty well, spray it again and leave it, because it has residual value, meaning that it will keep the mold at bay.
Yeah, keep it away.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I got one more thing. Well, it's a family room, and I had heat down there. Well, I had the heat turned off because we don't use it.
Right.
And so that's why this mold came, right?
Well, I mean, without the heat, it's probably pretty dry. It probably happened more so in the summertime because the humidity level was higher. You know what I mean? This time of year, it probably isn't an issue. It's probably more of an issue. Do you use your air conditioner, you know, during the summer months?
No, I don't even have air conditioner.
All right. Well, it's probably more of an issue where this is forming in the summer months. Important to keep using that dehumidifier, and this mold control will probably help you out.
Okay. Very good. Very good.
Happy holidays, sir.
Just spray it on and then wipe it off and then spray it again, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, very good. Thank you, sir.
Have a wonderful day. Appreciate you calling this morning. 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568. This is Wendy in Oak Lawn. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Lou. We have a 56-year-old house with a boiler heating system.
Okay.
With vents on the floor that have a flap that open and close. Some of them work, some of them don't. Is there a company that cleans out the vents, and or how do we clean them out?
It's hot water heat, so there's radiators in the floor?
Well, not in the floor. They're, like, on the wall.
They're on the wall, and they open and close.
Down at the ground.
Okay. Is it metal fin tube?
Yes.
Got it. So it's like a metal baseboard heater.
Yes.
Okay. You can clean them yourself. But what you have to be... go ahead.
Yeah, you have to be very careful of not hitting the fins.
Correct. So if it's metal fin tube, okay, that front cover, there's like a horizontal strip of steel or metal, right, that comes off to expose the metal fins.
Some of them come off, some of them don't, because they've been painted over the years.
Okay. So in order to clean these properly, you got to get them off. So you know, you may have to use a little utility knife and, you know, scrape the joints where it's painted on and then pull those off. Then what you really need is a shop vac, like a strong shop vac with the brush attachment.
Okay.
Okay. And so do you own like a wet dry vac?
Yes, we do.
Okay. That brush attachment, certain ones are softer than another, and you may want to go to the home center or the hardware store, depending on the size of the hose that your vacuum has, and buy the softer bristled brush so that you're going to fire this thing up, you're going to take the covers off, and you're going to top and bottom and on the face kind of run this brush across there with the suction to clean all that up. If those things are dirty, right, and those fins are blocked, you will be walking around in a tank top because of how much more heat they're going to kick out once they're clean.
Okay. Yeah, it's just, I mean, you can see that they're filthy.
Right, right. But it really starts, Wendy, with the face of the metal fin tube has to come off. You can't really get in from the top or the bottom. You've got to expose the whole thing. And, you know, that's how they were, when they were installed, that cover came off, they were drilled to the wall, and then the cover went on to finish them all off. But you're right, you have to be very careful with the metal fin tube to make sure that you don't damage it.
So you can't just, like, stick an air compressor hose in there and blow it out?
I mean, you could. I mean, if you wanted to go that route, you could take a compressor with an air, fitting on the end of it, and you could come from the top and then use the vacuum. So, in other words, if you wanted to do that, if you really couldn't get it off, then I would blow from the top down, and I would use the vacuum at the bottom, sucking while the thing is blowing from the top, and you know what I mean? And you're still, it's going to make a little bit of a mess, but that would work if you really don't want to take the cover off. It's not going to be as effective, but it'll be, you know,
better.
You should be able to get to at least 80% clean by doing that.
Okay, very good.
Good luck.
Thank you so much. Have a Merry Christmas.
You too. Happy holidays. I appreciate you calling this morning. 857-557-4LOU. 857-557-4568. We are keeping the cold out and the comfort in. We're live from the PermaSeal Attic Insulation Studios. How can I help you?
So about a month ago, I got a new quartz countertop with a undermount stainless steel bowl sink.
Okay.
And now in the bottom of the sink, I have some scratches. And I don't know how to get rid of them or if I can get rid of them.
It's a bowl sink, so you can't use a grate?
Well, I will now, but I didn't know about that.
Right, right. You know, the grate invention was a great invention, no pun intended, because, you know, the stainless steel... I know, I'm a dork. Okay, you can get those scratches out because I know it's driving you crazy.
Right.
There is a product called Scratch Be Gone.
Okay.
All right. You probably got to buy it online. Some hardware stores sell it. But it is a series of these little sanding pads that have a, like you can grab them, and then they give you some magic solution. But here's the thing, Kim. You have to do the whole bottom of the sink. And with the grain. And so you really, like your OCD brain has to tell you, I'm only going with the grain. Because if you go against the grain, you know, or perpendicular, you'll put another scratch in there and that'll drive you crazy. And so you're going to, you know, we should do like a TikTok video with, because this is a great way to get your arms in shape, is to take the scratches out of the bottom of your stainless steel sink. You're going to follow the directions that I think there's a series of either three or four pads. I can't remember how many there are. And you'll start with one and you'll go side to side the whole way. You're kind of, you're taking the whole thing down to get the scratch out. And you'll see that it really does bring the life of that sink back. And then put that pan grate on the bottom, which really was the greatest invention. You know, because it really
helps. Right. I wish they would have told me about that when I got
know.
The sink.
I know. Are you happy with the countertop, though?
Yeah, I love it. And then I clean it with soap and water. Is that the best thing to use on quartz?
I mean,
or is there a cleaner I should use?
Yeah, probably. So what I use, so a couple things with quartz. This is a good thing to know. So there's a clean. There's a bunch of different cleaners, but I like this one from Granite Gold. They make a daily cleaner. They have one called Quartz Bright as well. But it's just a neutral cleaner that, what color is the counter? Is it, what color is it?
It's like a whitish gray.
Yeah. So, you know, the white, you can kind of see a little cloudiness on there when it's not clean, right? And that'll drive you crazy too.
Right.
So the daily cleaner, you spray it on, use a cotton rag, wipe it, and it'll make it nice and shiny. Okay.
Now, okay, and it was called Granite Gold or
Granite Gold. Well, Granite Gold is the maker. They make either a daily cleaner, which you can absolutely use on quartz, or they make something specifically called Quartz Bright, which I honestly think it's the same stuff with a different name on the bottle.
Okay. Right. Okay.
But no one has confirmed me that, and I haven't done my science experiment, but that's what I think it is. And And here's the other thing: there will be a time in your life. Are you a cooker? You like to cook? You doing all kinds of cooking?
And I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
You're going to stain that top, and you're going to be really angry that it stained it. Like, I'm trying to think of an example. Like, for instance, I enjoy an occasional Manhattan. And when I go to make my Manhattan sometime on our white quartz countertop, when I go to use my bitters, you know, which is kind of a dark color, a little drip will end up on the counter. And maybe that if I don't see it for some reason, usually I do, but if you don't wipe it up right away, the next day you come down, there's like a little stain and you're like, wait a minute, it's not supposed to stain. And, so then you'll wipe it and it won't come off right away. And then you'll get really nervous. Scrubbing bubbles.
Okay.
Get a bottle and keep it under the sink. And when you do stain it with some, you know, something orangey or whatever, squirt it, a little dollop there, leave it there for 3-4 minutes, be amazed.
Okay, great. I might need that today. We're making our pasta sauce.
Oh, exactly. For Christmas?
Yeah. Yeah, what for Christmas.
What are you making?
Well, we have ravioli that we already made, and we freeze them, and then we eat them on Christmas for our Christmas dinner.
Lindsay, can you get Kim's address? I'm going to be in New Lenox on Christmas Day.
Sure, no problem.
I love
Come on
it.
Over. We made like 150 ravioli, so we're all good to go.
I'll be there. Happy holidays.
Okay, sounds good. You too. Thank you.
857-5574. Is there do you remember, was there like a Christmas thing that you remember that you make like for Christmas Day? Is there like or even like as a kid, something you remember that?
Well, so we're Danish, so we make
Abel skivers,
like little pancake balls.
Pancake balls?
Yeah.
Wait, what are those? Wait, well, I have never heard of this.
Yes, we have. We have a listener actually that like came up to me years ago, and we were like best friends because he's like, I make Abel whiskey risotto. I heard you talking about it on the radio.
Was that you?
Well, it was a listener.
Are they literally pancakes rolled up in a ball?
So there's an Able Skewer pan that has the holes in it. It's kind of like a little holes scooped out of it. And then you make a batter.
Oh, wait. There's a specific pan, like a muffin pan, but mini.
Yes. Yes, kind of. And then you have to put, like, I mean, they're very healthy. You put all the butter in the little divots.
Oh, you're being, and then you you're being sarcastic. Okay.
Put the pancake batter in and you wait for the bottom half, you know, of the sphere. Think of like that.
Right, right.
And then you take a fork and you like flip it so then it gets the other side.
Oh.
And it's like a little fried donut hole.
Oh, so so it ends up being like a donut.
Like a donut
And you put
hole.
Like powdered sugar on it or
you
something?
You can put powdered sugar, a little jam, syrup.
Oh, syrup, even syrup.
Delicious.
Wow. I made these pistachio almond gluten-free cookies.
Cookies that you dip into your coffee, right?
No,
that
you dip in your red wine.
Oh, the red wine. That's Lights out.
Lights out. And so it was funny because I made them and they're, so my friend Sandra, who was the one that gave us the recipe, she is an amazing chef and cook and baker. So is her husband, Joe. Hers are always better than mine, like no matter what. It's sort of like when you try to make my wife's scones.
Yes.
And you're like, why is it that hers are so much better?
Yeah.
Marianne's recipe. They're always better. I'm always chasing Sandra's pistachio almond cookies, but they're gluten-free. They're literally pistachio. Did I say almonds? Pistachios.
You said pistachio.
That you grind. So you make them like a flour, almond flour, powdered sugar, two eggs. That's it. Right? So really, when you bake them, the only thing you're really doing is cooking the egg.
Yeah.
Right? Because we don't care about the flour and the powdered sugar. Right? But if you go too long, they're like you could pound nails with them.
Oh.
And if you, and so anyway, this last batch, I was like, oh my gosh, I am
mastered it.
I am
good.
Clicking on the heels of Sandra on this.
Great feeling.
But then, so Mary Beth said, hey, if you're in the mood, she was having her book club. She goes, can you make some more of those? And so I'm like, yeah, I'll make some more. And so, you know, I'm just like on a Thursday night by myself. She's at book club. I'm making the, and I totally botched the recipe.
Oh, shoot.
And I actually burned a whole pan of them. I don't know what happened. Ugh.
You went from up here
to
down here
like,
in just
what
a
happened?
30 seconds.
Right. It was like so, I mean, literally, I went to bed depressed.
Oh, just
worse.
Better luck next time. I know.
I know.
You just have to master your craft.
I guess.
It's like when David comes home from golf and he'll be like, I figured it out. I figured out how to do it. I figured out what I've been doing wrong all of these years. And then the next time he goes back, he's like, I lost it.
That's a great analogy. On the word of the day today.
What are you talking about?
The word of the day.
What is Christmassy?
I guess it is. Are you ready, boys?
Let's
ready
do
to
it.
Go.
All right. It's an adjective, and the definition is friendly, lively, enjoyable. Like you, Lindsay.
But what does it first say?
Of an atmosphere or event.
Wouldn't you say that's I'm going to change my word example of a word.
Well, I mean, I would have thought you would have been like the word would have been like a bough, you know, like a bough of a branch or or evergreen or
evergreen.
Right. Or no, I mean, I'm not questioning. Well, I guess I am questioning your word.
I'm not trying to offend you.
No. I don't want to like put you on the spot here, but I can't believe it wasn't like silver bells or
because. Everybody knows silver bells.
Oh, right.
Silver
bells. I guess you're not learning.
That's fair enough.
Eli, do not take her side. No. Eli,
what about?
Let me give you some advice. Always take her side. You will go far. You will go far in this business if you listen to Lindsay, not me.
I can't wait till you use this word all week long in your holiday year.
The word is convenial.
Nope.
What?
Try it again.
Convivial?
Yes.
Convivial. Not convenial? Oh, yeah.
There's no end.
Convivial. C-O-N-V-I-V-I-A-L. I'm not going to use this all weekend long.
Yes, you
Convivial?
Are. This is a convivial show.
Leaky roofs and banging pipes are never fun, but House Smarts Radio keeps a convivial tone, balancing helpful tips and seasonal good spirits.
Nice.
Seasonal. Wow. Good spirits.
That's a good sentence.
Merry nice. Christmas. You filthy animal.
Convivial. Are you going to put that up on my on the Instagram page? Convivial.
Yes, and I can't wait for everyone to use it today.
Right? C-O-N-V-I-V-I-A-L. C-O-N-V-I-V-I-A-L. Convivial. Of an atmosphere or event. Friendly, lively, and enjoyable. Leaky roofs and banging pipes are never fun. I thought you were going to... I thought it was starting like a rhyme. Leaky roofs and banging pipes are never fun. But at House Smarts Radio,
we get it done.
Radio, the work is never done.
Oh, the convivial tone is never done.
Nice.
Oh,
you know
well
one of
done.
My favorite things for you to say the word and then for me to say no, like 0.3
every
seconds.
Saturday. It's why you do this.
No.
No. you know, life imitates, or, you know, everybody that calls into the show at 857-5574-LOU has all these questions, right? They're like, I don't know how to do this, and, you know, and or, you know, I got to hire somebody to do it. The other morning, I woke up, and, you know, we hosted Thanksgiving, and I went into a bathroom that I don't normally use to wash my hands. Mm-hmm. And out of the corner of my eye, I look, and I see there's water on the floor by the toilet. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, that, what's that, you know? And we had some little kids over, who knows, you know, whatever. And I look, and the toilet is leaking, like at the where it connects to the floor. Now, it is a, I don't know, 8 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday. And like, son of a gun. And what do? I immediately pull the toilet right then and there. And then I was thinking, and I mean, this not, but like, you know, there's a lot of handy people out there, but, you know, a lot of people, they what would they do? Right?
Totally.
Right? And I was convinced I had a wax ring, like, in stock, you know, that I needed to replace the wax ring. And sure enough, I pulled the toilet, and the wax ring had, you know, whatever. But the whole process back together, even I had to run to the hardware store to buy a wax ring, was...
Like, where's Lou? That was a really long bathroom break.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll be right back. I got to go get a wax ring. But, you know, the whole thing didn't take an hour. And, but... I feel for you people that listen to the show. It's tough because you just don't know what to do. And stuff happens. Like out of the corner of your eye, there's water on the floor. I mean, you got to, you know what? The thing with this is that you can't get discouraged, right? You just got to stay convivial.
See?
It's
going to be your new favorite
word. My new favorite word. Good luck, gentlemen.
I've got my work cut out for me.
Yeah.
857. Wait. Okay. One other thing. When you go to the Bears game, Eli, I want you to find that Kevin Warren for me, and I want you to have a conversation with him.
Anything about?
Yeah. So the whole thing, like we're moving to Indiana, it's not a good look.
I agree.
Okay. It's like you're a business. You make a lot of money. Now, we don't have all the details. Like they keep saying infrastructure and that kind of stuff. Now, I would think that the city of Arlington Heights or the state, you know, if you're building a new stadium out by Arlington Heights, which I'm all in. I'm going to Arlington Heights to watch the Bears. I will do that. I'm not going at Gary. And but of course they have to build new sewers and bring electric and that kind of stuff. I have to imagine that's part of the deal. You know what I mean? And if you run a big multi-billion-dollar business, don't be so whiny. You're going to make so much money when this thing is all done. I know they're supposedly going to pay for the stadium themselves, but there's got to be some partnership here. But the going to the, like, we're going to go to Indiana, not a good look. It's not a good look.
This is not about leverage.
Yeah. They're not going to Indiana, right? Rob, they're not going
No, they're not going to Indiana. It's Nobody's going to go to Gary to watch the Bears. They just aren't.
No. No. And, you know, they're like, oh, we're going to go to Indiana. Come on. Give me a break. It just, you know, don't just get it done. Stop talking about it and go sit in a room with the other people. And, you know, there's an old, you know, there's an old story for those of us to know this. when Ronald Reagan was president, he was, you know, the face of the Republican Party. And the guy that was the Speaker of the House was a guy named Tip O'Neill. Anybody remember Tip O'Neill?
Of course, yes.
He had a big gentleman. He had a big nose.
Big white hair.
Big white hair. And those two were so politically opposite, right? But they would sit in a room and they would have a glass of something and they'd hammer out like a deal, like, let's get this stuff done. And they'd work it all out. And then they'd come out and then they'd talk to their constituents and their other people and say, all right, we need to move things forward. Let's keep going. Kevin Warren, do the same thing. Sit down with the governor. Sit down with the people in Arlington Heights. Don't be posturing. We're going to Indiana. It's a bad look.
We'll sit down over that.
Make that known. Eli, when you're doing that, have the hot chocolate with the Malort in it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we'll sit down over a hot chocolate and discuss the stadium plans.
Yeah, right. You can sit down with the president of the Bears and say, Mr. Warren, you may have heard of me. I'm Eli Burke, attorney at law and sports anchor on Saturday mornings on House Smarts Radio. By the way, I love the Malort hot chocolate. It's delicious. Start with that. Always lead with something positive.
Got
it. Flying with alcohol.
Even if you don't like it.
Understood.
Good luck, Eli. 857-557-4, Lou. 857-557-4568. This is Bob on the Northwest side. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Lou. I had a question. I'm in a bit of a predicament. I need to fairly quickly replace an entry door, exterior entry door, and my issue is that two issues causing problems mainly. It is an outswing door, which is not typically stocked at lumberyards and
right
and home centers,
right?
And it's also an unusual size. And my question was basically whether it might be better to increase the height of the rough opening to actually get a pre-hung door in, one of which I actually had made right away and is actually waiting for me to pick up. But the alternative, I guess, would be to get an order in for a custom-sized door, which would increase the price of the door itself and take
weeks.
6 to 8 weeks,
right,
in order to get. But I just wondered who I would contact about helping increasing the size of the room.
Wait. So the door is not 6'8" coming in? It's not 6'8"? It's not like a 3.0 6'8" door?
The rough opening is actually 36 by 79.
Okay. Well, you're not 80 inches is the typical height, so you're not crazy, but where the increasing the height, is that a load-bearing wall right there? Is there a solid header above that door? Probably, right? How much space do you have?
There is. It's a solid header, and it is a load-bearing wall.
Mm-hmm.
It's a back porch. So, I mean, it's frame and,
right,
and
right,
everything.
Right. And you're on the northwest side of the city?
Yes.
Where exactly?
Belmont Cragen area.
Okay. Okay, a couple things. You know, the outswing door, no matter what you do, is going to take a while. You could try... Remember the Builder Supply outlet that you used to hear on the radio here? They're out in They're out in Broadview. You could call them because they have a door division, and they also bring in a bunch of doors and stuff. It's possible that they have an outswing door. I don't know. It's worth a call. An exterior door. And if they do have one, they'd probably be happy to get rid of it because that's not a high ticket item. But you could try that. As far as increasing the opening, you need a really good carpenter to see if they can modify that opening. I mean, I would try to get to a standard door, the outswing will be tough. You may have to temporarily do an inswing if that's possible. And while they typically don't go into the city. The folks at MegaPros would be who I would call, and Belmont Cragen, they might do it.
Okay. All right. I did actually call Builder Supply, and unfortunately that didn't work out.
Okay.
And I did immediately do the best I could and order an outswing door that width should have no problem. The height actually is a standard 80-inch door.
Right.
But I actually ordered it, and it's in waiting for me to pick up at one of the local home center marts. So
I mean, if you've got that, you know, look, you could modify that header. Okay, and if you took an inch and a half out of it, and some, you need a carpenter to assess this all, but chances are the header,
right,
you know, could be modified to still be structurally sound. But I can't give you that advice on the radio without seeing it, and so you need a really good
you need
a carpentry contractor to figure this thing out. And I would start with MegaPros and see, they've got really good people that can figure this out for you. They may go to Belmont Cragen because it's not in the heart of the city, and it's worth a try. I appreciate you calling this morning. 7:24 in the morning. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
I have developed a crack in my foundation wall of the garage. It's sort of underground because the lot is graded up around the sides, but it's the garage is at street level.
Okay.
And I've called a couple companies. It sounds like they just squirt some epoxy in there. They don't drill holes. They don't do anything else like that. And it's $1,000. So I'm wondering if this is something that I can take on as a do-it-yourself project.
So the crack, have you noticed any structural deficiencies based on this crack? Like when you look at the wall, like, oh, it looks wonky, or the door's not working or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
It just, part of the crack hasn't even separated. It's just cracked. Part of the crack has a separation.
You can see, so when you're on the inside of the garage, you can see this crack?
Yes.
But then you can only see it so far, and then there's the concrete slab, correct?
Well, it goes from the foundation wall there is 3 feet high or 4 feet high or whatever it is.
Oh, okay,
and then it's
okay.
Frame.
I see. Yep. Okay, so you can see that crack, and then the dirt on the outside is up against all of that. So on the outside, you're only seeing like a foot of it.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. So typically, when they do a crack injection, they will drill some holes to get that polyurethane. They use a polyurethane. That is available to you as well if you want to try and do this yourself. So I'm not trying to take work away from the fine folks at PermaSeal, but if you were willing to try this, what I would do is get a hammer drill, you have one, and I would drill at least 3 holes in that crack, like equidistance, and go halfway deep into that thing, blow it out,
sure,
clean it all out, you know, and then you can buy this epoxy. It's a 2-part tube with a spinning tip, and it mixes it as it goes through. So the 2-part is the key.
Yep.
Because it's going to bond it, right? So you're going to need to, buy 2 or 3 tubes of it, so you don't want to run out. Whatever you don't use, keep the receipt, and you can obviously return it. But start at the bottom and build your way up.
Got it. Yep.
And then
can I get that at my Northbrook Ace?
Probably not.
You probably
have to go to like either one of the big boxes may carry it, or a McCann Construction Specialties store.
Okay. Very good. So 2-part epoxy, and it's going to be called foundation repair?
Yeah. It'll be a polyurethane repair. It'll be 2 tubes, and they have a mixing tip on it. Drill 3 holes. I mean, you're not going to get the same kind of effect as professional, and you may or may not be successful in leak protection, but you can try it, you know. And the worst-case scenario is if you're unhappy, then a pro can come and dig it all out and start over again. You know, you don't quite sure what to get people, right? And, I'll let Lindsay tell you. This is a good gift idea. Is it expensive?
Find out right now. All right, this one's a good gift idea for the DIY enthusiast in your life. From wood, metal, glass, and plastic to ceramics, the Resparked Customizer Engraving Pen gives you the power to transform any material into a work of art. Whether you're new to engraving or an old pro, the Customizer Engraving Pen's lightweight, ergonomic design and adjustable 3-speed motor puts precision and control in your hands, making intricate, detailed creations come naturally. With up to 2 hours of rechargeable battery life and USB-C fast charging, the Customizer Engraving Pen is cord-free, meaning hassle-free, so it's ready to go when you are. The engraving kit comes with an easy-to-follow instruction manual, 30 diamond bits so you have plenty of options, a durable carbide burr, their engraving mastery guide, and 4 practice surface pieces for you to practice on. Pros are, it's easy and fun to use, no artistic ability required. Cons, you just might start engraving anything and everything you can get your hands on. The Resparked Customizer Engraving Pen Kit goes for right now $70 on sale, typically $100. So give the gift of creativity for any DIY enthusiast in your life.
For more information, check out the HouseSmart YouTube channel.
And be sure to like and subscribe.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
That was good. It's a fancy Dremel tool, but it's much smaller. It literally is the size of a big fat pen. It's like the size of a big fat marker.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm looking at it, and so my friend Chris Czechowski, her thing, like when she walks on the beach or walks anywhere, she always looks for rocks shaped like a heart.
I love that.
Yeah, it's like a thing. Like she'll all of a sudden, like, where's Chris? And she's behind looking down, you know, like looking. And she finds them. Rocks shaped like a heart. And she has done this for, my gosh, as long as I can remember. It's very sweet. And then, you know, whatever. She travels for work. So I was in Toronto or whatever. And there's this rock I found. I love you. Here's how, you know. Isn't that sweet?
Yeah. This would be a great way to.
You could take this and, like, do a little engraving.
The date.
Or
place.
Like a little thing. You could put, you know, a name on it.
Yeah.
I mean, you get all this control. $70, that's pretty good. The Dremel, you know, who makes rotary tools, they make a cordless tool, but it's a lot fatter than this. And I think that when you're looking for detail, you want something smaller. That's cool. And you purchased one for someone for a gift.
I did.
They are going to like it.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
But it's addicting. Like, you like start engraving everything.
It's like using, yes. It's like using a pressure washer. What can I clean now?
Yeah.
Can I engrave now, right? No, that'll be good. Go to youtube.com/housemarchtv to learn more. 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568. It's 7:41 in the morning. You know what? Also, we have to give away a Mr. Fix-It hat today at some point, but I have an idea that we haven't talked about in our pre-show meeting, because a while ago, We did this. Remember, it was finish the lyrics.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
So fun! I forgot about this.
Remember? And then we have people finish.
Yes.
Right. So I don't know how we're going to do that, but we're going to do a contest to win a hat. So we're going to figure out how to do that coming up. So don't go away. We'll give you more information about that coming up a little bit later on. 857-557-4LOU is our phone number. 7:42 in the morning. We're keeping the cold out and the comfort in. We're live from the PermaSeal Attic Installation Studios. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Good morning, Lou.
How may I help you?
I am calling. My husband passed away recently.
Very sorry.
And one of the things I need, thank you. One of the things I need to do in the spring is a new roof, to take off the old one and put on a new one. who would you recommend?
I want you to call Lindholm Roofing. Okay. They have been around. Okay. They have been around for, well, like 45 years. It is a. I talk about this when I read their commercials, but they are the Lindholm family is still running that business. So it's a family affair. There's Tim and Ryan and Rebecca and Mallory and Tim and anyway, they just do a really good job. They will give you a fair price, and they'll do a really nice job. Do you have a pen or a pencil?
I do.
It's 773. Is it 282 or 289? 283. 283-7675. 773-283-7675.
Now, I also have a question. I don't know if I need gutters. I'll have them check the gutters out too.
Do
gutters?
They can, and they will. Okay. They will tell you. You know, they will say, you know what, these are fine. Or, I mean, here's the thing: when you're tearing off a roof, I've heard Tim describe this way, and it's true. It's kind of a violent affair. You know what I mean? It's a.
Mm-hmm.
They're working, mm-hmm. you know, to take this off, and so. It's not that they can't protect the gutters, but it might just make the most, you know, at this point in your life, Mary, you want to try and limit any surprises, right? And so, well, you know what I mean? I don't mean that.
I know.
I don't mean it that way. And I apologize if that's how it came out. I mean that, you know, if you're going to do this, get the roof done, get the gutters done. Now it's all new. And, you know, your expectation is if you maintain it, it's talk to me in 20 years, right?
One more question. We have something on the gutters like leaf guard. I don't mm-hmm. think it's actually leaf guard. Can that be taken off and put back on new gutters?
Potentially. You know, yes, potentially it can. That would have to be decided when they come out and take a look at it. And, you know, it may be that whatever you have there, they may have to add to it. You know, the new gutters maybe have a slightly different configuration than the old ones. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is what I know about the Lindholm family, and this is why I want you to contact them. I work with them, and I help promote their business. But they will give you an honest assessment and tell you exactly what has to be done. They're not out to get you or anything like that. And so, you know, you can trust them for sure.
Perfect. Thank you, Lou, and have a Merry Christmas.
You as well. Thank you for calling. I really appreciate that. 857-5574, Lou. 857-557-4568. This is Diane in Wilmette. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I live in a two-story townhome. It was built in 1956. Recently, the association had the roofs redone, and so in the attic, what they didn't tell us was to cover things. And so from the nails pounding in, I got all this black debris over everything. So I swept and vacuumed. Yeah, it was fun. It was not a convivial time. And so I ended up with this exposed insulation that has all of this black debris on it. I need to redo it, and I know nothing about insulation. I've been trying to research it. I was hoping you might have some guidance.
So the insulation up in the attic is filthy?
Yes. So part of the floor, I live at the end unit, so it's a pitched roof, so they did not put a floor over the entire attic, only part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like this yellow fluffy stuff insulation that's exposed.
And do you want to remove it, or what do you want to do?
I want to replace it.
Okay.
Because it's filled with all this black stuff.
Okay, so I want you to call PermaSeal because they do attic insulation and they will remove the old stuff. They have like this giant.
Terrific.
They have this giant vacuum cleaner. They'll get it all out. They'll reseal. They'll air seal any protrusions coming up, which is really the secret sauce when it comes to attic insulation. And then they'll blow in new fiberglass insulation, and they'll do a really, really nice job.
That's great. Thank you.
800-421-SEAL, S-E-A-L, 800-421-SEAL.
Got it.
And they will come out and do a really nice job for you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you and your show.
I appreciate you calling. Happy holidays. I hope you have a great holiday season.
Thank you. Happy holidays. Bye-bye.
857-5574, Lou. Let's get one more call in here. This is Rita on the Northwest Side. Hi, Rita.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
You sound bright and chipper. I have a very large countertop in my kitchen.
Wait, one second. When you said I was bright and chipper, in my ear, Lindsay said, convivial. She's such a smart aleck. Yeah, everybody thinks she's so nice. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
It's a very large countertop. It was put together in pieces. You can't even see the seams. Well, until recently, I put a crock pot in one of the corners, which I've done previously, but melted the seam, I guess. But that's not my big concern, really.
Okay.
What I would like to have done is just have it sanded or shined up again. There's different little scratches here and there. And then I have a marble-like countertop in my bathroom, and that has different little niches in it. So I'm wondering what company can come and like shine them up.
Well, I mean, there's no company that like that's all they do. You know, there's a lot of companies that that, you know, if they're a countertop company, they may offer that as a service. So where you're on the northwest side of the city?
Yes, Edison Park, Norwood Park.
Okay. There's a company I've done business with for years out of Glenview that may offer this service, but you'd have to check with them because I'm not 100% sure. And they're called Stone Cutters.
Oh, okay.
And they're a countertop manufacturer, very good countertop manufacturer with really good crews and, I mean, really good crews. And really high quality stuff. But I know that they do this service for counters that they've, you know, installed, but I don't know if they offer it as a service. If not, they may be able to recommend someone that does it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Right. I'll get back to you and let you know what
happens. Please do. Please do. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Thanks for what you do for people. Oh, thanks. The same to you, Lou.
My pleasure. Happy holidays. Appreciate you calling this morning. Okay, I was talking about the holiday spirit and wanting to get... So, Thursday, we were babysitting for Mia. And before that, we met our friends. I'm telling you, you need to go here before Christmas or probably right after Christmas. There's this little restaurant in Roscoe Village called Le Sud Mediterranean Kitchen. And it's on, like, Roscoe, it's like 2300 block of Roscoe. And I can't think of the cross street. But I've been there before. It's this really cute restaurant. The food's really good. I walk in. The Christmas decorations, Lindsay, in this place are unbelievably beautiful and festive. And it's this cute little dining room. Their service is great. The food is excellent. And it is, like, they have these, there must be 500 little Santa Clauses that look like I think they're attached to a balloon coming from the ceiling, like everywhere. But it's not gaudy. It's very well done. Then every chair, you know, like where you put your back, where you sit on your chair, has like a slip cover over the top that says Merry Christmas or Happy New Year or like a Christmas tree or whatever. Every single chair. To the point where I took my coat off the chair, I dropped it on the ground. I had to put it back together. Anyway, that place, I'm sure there's other places too, but if you're around that area, get a reservation. They do actually do a really nice brunch as well. We've been there before. Actually, our granddaughter's christening little get-together was there after she was baptized. And so, anyway, I highly recommend it. I have nothing to do with it other than it's delicious and will put you in the Christmas spirit.
Right? I love places like that.
Right. Just so fun. I mean, yeah. And Mary Beth and I were talking about it. It had to cost them a fortune, but hopefully it pays off. Like, we're doing all these decorations, and let's go, you know, get this all done.
Let's jump in that convivial jump spirit.
In it. There she goes.
Well, I'm going to run it into the ground.
Killing
since
it.
You said.
Right, like, okay, enough
you
already.
Give me grief, yep.
Enough already. Go. Good job, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Convivial, they were all over it. Rob, I'm very impressed. I mean, come on. Rob's normally clicking his heels. He's like, oh my gosh, it's 9:30. I haven't hit the word yet. Good job. Good
thanks. I had to get it in early, and you know what a better setting than the city council.
Right, exactly. Good job.
Hey, can I ask that last song? Can you tell me who did it? That was awesome. The Christmas Cookie
Oakridge
song?
Boys.
That's a great song.
Wow, that's so old school right there.
Totally, yeah.
You don't make cookies, do you?
We've made cookies. We've made a lot of cookies.
You have?
Yeah.
Is there like a go-to Lindsay Smithwick cookie?
No, we just make the sugar cookies with this. Sadie really likes to decorate them, and she uses her royal icing.
I like that. Yeah, I like I like a lot of different cookies, but the ones that, I don't know, what are they, sugar cookies, and then you get with a little icing on the top,
mm-hmm.
where it's a little softer when you take a bite?
Well,
the
icing is. Oh, yeah, that's not what this is.
Okay,
does the ones that's like, it like hardens.
Yeah.
But then you can be more creative with the design on it,
I see.
So they do turn out pretty good.
Yeah. It's, the cookies are, it's really good. Right.
Sure.
Rob, are you a baker? Are you a cooker? Eli, what about you? Just an eater?
Yeah, eating is my profession there.
Yeah. Just an eater, but I think my favorite holiday cookie are the burnt matches. Do you know those? The shortbread with like the chocolate and sprinkles on the end of them.
Oh, yeah. Those are good.
Yeah.
Those are good. Yeah. Mary Beth just went to like a cookie exchange in the neighborhood, you know, it's like this lady organizes and she brought back this little plate. And, you know, so then the nice thing about that is that, you know, people are known, like Mary Beth makes these really good peanut butter cookies at Christmas and then ginger snaps, which I'm not a huge ginger snap guy, but I like her. Those are good. Really good with a cup of coffee. A little dunker. I'm a dunker, just so you know.
You are.
I love to. Let me dunk that. You're like, it's a rib. No, I'm going to dunk it, you know, but it's a porterhouse. I'm just going to dunk it. And but then when you get other people that have cookies that you've never had before, you're like, oh, what's this? Right. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, what's this? You're three in and you're like, I should stop. Right. It's like,
yeah.
Wow.
You just want to try one more.
What I got to
never keep count. Never keep count.
Never keep count, right?
Where does peppermint bark fall into this? Because it was at the last cookie exchange I was at, and that was really all I could keep my hands on. I liked it too much to move on to anything else.
Oh,
but
I thought you meant like no one else wanted it. That would be one of the cookies that like, sir, you're going to die unless you eat this peppermint bark. I'm like, it's been a good life.
Oh, I was hoarding it all. I couldn't get away from it.
Yeah.
But does it count as a cookie?
Yes, well...
Like kind of a lazy cookie. Don't you just dump everything in and then break
it
apart?
Like a chocolate, right? Like more of a candy. Sort of?
Yeah.
It looks great on a plate.
Looks great on a plate.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Brings a little color.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Cookie talk. That'll be all next hour. Job. You're a winner. You're a big winner. You're a big winner, Chris. We didn't think this through. This was on the this was on the mode. We're going to send you a... do you have Chris's information, by the way?
No, but I will put her back on hold.
All right, we'll put you back on hold, but we're going to send you out a limited edition Mr. Fix-It hat sponsored by our friends over at Lindholm Roofing, the company I recommend for all your roofing, siding, and tuck pointing needs. I hope you have a great Christmas season, and let me put you on hold 1 second, and then Lindsay will get your information. 857-5574, Lou is our phone number, 857-557-4568. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back. Future home of the Chicago Bears, Northwest Indiana?
Well, I don't think so.
And you live there.
That's right.
How may I help you this morning?
Well, I've learned so much by listening to your show every week, but I have an issue of my own today.
Okay.
I have a slow kitchen drain, and last year I had a plumber come out. He rotted it and could find nothing. This year, had the same plumber come out. He rotted it out. Nothing. So So I'm wondering, after my travels through the internet, if this could be a stack problem. And if it is, how would I know if it is or it isn't? Who's going to crawl up on my roof and tell me?
Well, what it could be, is the drain still slow?
Yes.
So he comes and he rods the thing out and he's like, lady, there's nothing there. And then you run the drain and it's still slow.
Yep. He didn't think it was slow. I think it's slow.
Okay.
I use it every day, all mm-hmm. day long, and it's slow.
Single sink or double sink?
Double.
And do you know if you have one trap or two?
Looks like one under the sink. Is that where I'd find it with the big square screw on it?
Well, it'd look like a big U or a J bend. So with two sinks, a lot of times there'll be a tailpiece coming off of each sink, and then it'll turn and go into one J bend that then goes into the wall.
There's one P trap under there.
One P trap. Okay. All right. So there is. And so the plumber, when he came, did he put the rod, did he take everything apart under the sink and put the rod in there?
Yes, he took it apart, and there was nothing in the P-trap.
Mm-hmm. And then he put the rod in the wall, and he said, everything's fine.
Yep.
Okay. I don't know anything about this plumber, but there is a chance that when you put the rod in there, the rod went up the vent and not down the drain. That's always the tricky part.
Well, he did mention, because it sings to me, it goes glub glub when the dishwater goes down the drain and mm-hmm. it's all done leaving the sink, it goes glub glub.
What does it do?
And he said,
what does it sound like?
Glub glub. but he said that it's not getting maybe enough air. Okay. And it made me think about dumping a gallon jug of water. If you turn it upside down, it goes glub glub. It's just not getting air.
All right, can we try one thing before we go taking the vent off? I think you just have a claw. And how old is your house, Vicki?
25 years old.
Oh, so it's all plastic. The drain's all plastic.
Yeah, right? Everything looks like PVC under there.
Mm-hmm. I want you to go today to the hardware store, and I want you to buy a bottle of something called InstaFlow.
All right.
Now, this is what I want you to do. You're going to bring that home, and you're going to turn on the hot water, and you're going to get that hot, and you're going to warm up the drain. Okay, so now if you just run the water in the sink and, you know, you don't fill up the sink, will it drain or no? Even that backs up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it runs very well with just water running full tilt out of the faucet.
Okay.
But when I fill the sink with water to wash dishes and pull the plug,
right,
that's when I can see how slow it is.
Okay, so this is what I want you to do. Warm up the drain. So now the water's nice and hot, it's nice and dry. You're going to shut that off. Now you're going to take the InstaFlow, which is a bottle of chips. And you're going to pour a mound of it in the drain. You know how you've got your little strainer, you take the strainer out and you've got that little cup, you know, that kind of gathers all the water?
Right.
Now you're going to turn the hot water on again to melt those chips. Now a steam is going to come up from this, and it's going to be pretty pungent, so I don't want your nose over that. Okay. Once those chips dissolve, turn the water off and maybe use your hand to sprinkle around it. Cause I want the chips to do is to get down into the drain and start to snap, crackle and pop and take up any of the gunk and the grease that's inside the drain and leave it there for like 90 seconds. Then run the hot water. Okay. Again, to clear the drain. Repeat it. Do it again, okay? Then I want you to fill up your sink, pull the plug, and see what happens.
Okay.
And if that doesn't do it, then it could be that the vent is clogged, and they need to go either up from the sink with the rotter up, or they need to come down from the roof or a bathroom up. But do you have a bathroom above it?
No, it's a one floor. Okay. One floor. No.
So then we got to go probably up on the roof and drop a rod or a camera to figure out what's going on. But I think that this InstaFlow might solve your problem.
Oh, I hope so. This is really annoying, and I don't. Now let me ask you this: if it was a problem with the stack, wouldn't all my other drains be slow or glubbing?
Well, where are the other? This is your kitchen sink, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and so.
And there's only one vent up on the roof. There's only
right,
one.
So that.
And I have two bathrooms.
Right.
And,
so that vent. And do you have a window over the sink?
No.
Okay.
It's on an island, like in the middle.
Oh. So if it's an island in the middle, then you don't have a traditional vent. You have a loop vent. See, all the things come...
Loop?
Right. If you have an island...
L-O-O-P?
L-O-O-P. You don't have a... You don't have a... You have a loop vent probably in an island where it loops up over and up, and that could be the problem. Like, just inherent in the design.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So
what do you do about that?
You don't do anything about it. You're in Northwest Indiana. I mean, there's different ways to do it. If it's in an island, you may actually see this in the cabinet. Do you see the vent in the cabinet? When you see the J bend, where does it go?
No.
Does it go into a pipe that goes? It goes down into the floor.
Goes into the wall.
So there's like some type of knee wall. There's like it isn't just an island where the cabinets are on the other side as well.
Rather than an island, I should say it's a peninsula because it's attached to the wall.
And so if I'm at your sink, am I looking over the peninsula or is there a wall on the other side of
this? Over it. The wall is to the left.
Okay. All right. You probably have some type of loop vent, which is not the best venting system by design, and this could be just an issue there. And if it's a loop vent, that could be clogged or have an airlock in it that probably needs to be replumbed somehow. I'm surprised the plumber didn't point that out.
Replumbed. What is replumbed?
Meaning that the way it's vented now, they need to add an extra leg on it or something to get more air in it. So it doesn't glug glug on you. What's the sound that it makes?
Glug glug.
Try the InstaFlow, but then get a better plumber to come and figure out what's going on. I think you got just a bad design in the venting.
Well, there's so many plumbers out there.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know who to call that's reliable.
In Northwest,
I have no idea.
Yeah, in Northwest Indiana, I'll tell you what you can do. Go to plumbers911.com. Plumbers911.com. They will set you up with a really high quality plumber that works in Northwest Indiana. They'll figure it out.
Okay. This is more complicated than I thought it would be.
It is.
Oh, well. Well, I have learned so much from listening to you, and I will keep listening.
God bless you.
Keep learning. Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Well, thanks so much. And to you.
It's 8:30 in the morning. When we come back, we're going to talk with an organization that I talk to every Christmas, the Knight Ministry. It's a fabulous organization that has buses on the street and people on the street to help those unhoused. And it's just a fabulous organization, and I hope you'll stick around to listen.
I have a question about, I've got a steel door on the outside of my side of the house.
Okay.
And it's got a weather-stripped stop. The stop is maybe, it's aluminum, maybe 1 inch deep, half to 3 inch wide that has weather stripping on there. And that weather stripping has gone completely bad. So it's pretty well stuck in there. I don't know if I can just replace that rubber stop piece
the door frame itself has a groove where that weather stripping slides into.
Yes.
Yeah. That is replaceable.
Yes.
So they what if it's the standard steel doors that I'm imagining, that stop that goes all the way around has a groove in it, and that kind of vinyl foamy, it's like a foam, almost like V-shaped, right? It goes into a channel, and then there's like a little bit of a V that when you close it, it compresses. Does that sound right?
Well, it might, it may have originally.
Okay.
It's totally, right. It's totally flat, and right. It's very, it's brittle, but I was using, trying to use a pair of needle-nose pliers to get mm-hmm. that weather, see if it comes out, and I couldn't get it out.
So what that, if it, if this is what you're describing is what I'm picturing, there's a groove in that jam, and then there's a little tailpiece on that weather stripping all the way around that has little, almost like little fins on it, so that when it slides into the gap, it holds itself in place, so it doesn't pull out. Now, with the right amount of force, it should pull out. Now, the fact that it's older and brittle, it may be that you're going to have to dig it all out, right? Hopefully, you'll be able to at least salvage one piece of it to then take to the hardware store or the home center. There's a bunch of different manufacturers, but the ones you're going to see at either one of those stores is either MD, Mary David, or Frost King. Those are two big manufacturers of this replacement weather stripping. And that strip that goes around the metal door will come in brown and white. It may even come in a different, like a tan color, but typically it's brown and white. And you cut it with a utility knife or, quite honestly, a pair of scissors and measure it. It comes in like it's a pre-cut. It's for a door. So there'll be two at 84 and, one at 36 or something like that. Maybe not 84. It might be, 83 or 84. 84. So and then you just cut it to fit. And you may have to take a screwdriver or a putty knife and clear out that that channel to accept the new weather stripping.
Okay. Is there a particular name for that type of weather stripping that pushes into the channel?
It's just replacement door weather stripping. You'll see it. It typically doesn't come in a roll. It'll be long. I shouldn't say that. Sometimes they do roll it up, but your other option with this is the door is metal, but the jam is wood, correct?
Well, the door's metal. The jam is actually
a composite.
It's actually like it's aluminum.
Oh, so it's all aluminum. Okay. They do make. I mean, if you can't, in other words, if you're like, I can't find this stuff, whatever. They do make another weather stripping that has a little piece of wood on it that actually has an adhesive, like a 3M adhesive that you cut, just like I just mentioned, but you would close the door and then you would slide this where you need it to be, like, okay, it's nice and tight, take a pencil and draw a pencil mark, pull the tape off, stick it to the jam, and you weather strip it that way, and you eliminate the channel altogether.
Okay.
The same two manufacturers make that as well. If you go to the aisle where they sell all this stuff, you'll be like, oh yeah, this is what I want. I mean, it'll be fairly apparent for you, but you've got a couple of choices. And the weather stripping that sticks with the adhesive, because today is going to be a little bit warmer, today'd be the day to do it.
Right, yeah, today's supposed to be a little bit warmer, so that's why I was trying.
Right,
that's why I was going to try to tackle this project today.
For sure.
So, but okay, good. I appreciate all the info.
Happy holidays! I appreciate you calling this morning, Eli. Do you celebrate Christmas? Do you go anywhere?
I celebrate Hanukkah, but big.
Happy Hanukkah!
Thank you very much. Just always festive this time of year. Loving just the vibes. No travel for me, but seeing a lot of extended family over this next week.
Very nice. Is your family still in Texas or no? They here?
My parents are in Texas, but the rest of my extended family's all up here.
Oh, good. Very nice. So you'll be sticking around here?
Yeah.
Nice. Very nice. And Lindsay, I know your plan, but you might want to share with the class.
Well, I'm going to, we're going to stay here for Christmas morning, you know, do the whole thing, and then go to Green Bay the next day to spend with my in-laws.
Very nice.
Are you having just a small gathering of 56 people at the Manfredini?
No, this is very sweet, though. So my my wife and her sister Nora and then her cousin Kate host this ladies' tea, which is an annual thing that they do around Christmas. They're doing that today, and there's about, I think, 15 or 16 of them. And our granddaughter is going to be going, too.
Oh, that's so special.
How sweet is that?
That's really cute.
So I'm really excited that they're
Mia's first tea.
Yeah, I can't wait to see all those pictures, which will be nice. And we're just hosting a little bit at our house, just immediate, my wife's immediate family. So that's like 22. We just do hors d'oeuvres and mushroom soup, kind of an homage to, it's a Polish tradition, and my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, Matt and Nora, make the mushroom soup. It's always very good. And some delicious bread, and, you know, I know you love bread.
I do love bread, and a good mushroom soup.
So that'll be very fun.
Do you dunk it?
Always. I'm a dunker.
Of course, you're
right?
A dunker.
Come on, that's right, right. What are you going to do with that pork chop? I'm going to dunk it. Right, why not? Just put it in there, delish. Well, good. Well, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah. What do we got?
You too.
Is it Eli? What do we have? One day left in Hanukkah.
Today is day seven.
Today's seven, right? So one more day, right? That's good. We got these. We at our hardware store, Eli, you'll appreciate this as a man of the Jewish faith. We got these. We get these Christmas decorations that we sell this time of year, and the gentleman that runs our store out in Villa Park happens to be Jewish as well, and he got. He bought some Hanukkah decorations as well, you know, that we sell at the store. This is a couple years ago. And it was like a menorah, right, that lit up. It was lovely. It was cute, inexpensive, you know, a nice little something you would put, you know, like Eli would take to his apartment. Oh, I'm going to put that up there, you know,
yeah.
I celebrate Hanukkah, right? There were six candles. And Dave hands it to me, goes, what's wrong with this? And I look at it, goes, huh, you know, and I'm like, something, you know, like you've seen a menorah a million times, but you would just, well, it's a menorah. And then he goes, look closely. And all of a sudden I look, I go, huh, missed it by that much. Two candles missing.
I mean, it'd be great for the first 6 days.
Yeah, but how does that get through quality control?
How do you get past that?
Right, right.
Ship it, right? Like, totally. Yeah, there's six, right? Like 6 days, right? It was hilarious. And needless to say, we sent them back. Like, these are not this is
accurate.
Yeah. Right, this is not working, right? Yeah, all you kids celebrating Hanukkah the last 2 days, sorry, we only have six. Times are tough. Anyway, I thought that was pretty funny.
I want to see a big menorah blow up for the lawn, you know, like you see the Santa Clauses and the reindeer.
I've seen it.
We had one in my house when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah, big, like it was wider than it was long. I remember it like basically stretched across the yard. But it took up so much space in front of our house, but you always knew which one ours would be.
Nice.
And I have seen recently driving around, and I think that this was a concerted effort, right? There was some kind of community outreach thing where there's a lot of cars with menorahs on the roof. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen that one, but I'm going to keep my eyes peeled now.
Like strapped to the roof. I mean, it's legit designed for it.
Don't go under...
Well, it's not. I mean, it's not. It's pretty tall, but I've seen that, and lit up.
Is it like when cars put? Is it like when cars put on the antlers and the reindeer nose?
Exactly. Now it's just a menorah on the roof of the car.
Just don't go under that bridge in Long Grove.
Right. Right, or we'll be telling a story.
Yeah.
Right. Right. A Subaru Outback got caught under the roof with a menorah on the seventh day, knocked off the candle. Right. We don't want that. 857-5574, Lou. 857-5574-568. Hey, guess what? I'll tell you what. We'll tell Tim, because Tim's going to be... Hey, Tim, guess what? You're a big winner.
Hello?
Yeah, you're a big winner, Tim. You are our first caller in the 9 o'clock hour. You've just won your choice of a Mr. Floor cleaning product, wood floor, cabinetry, countertop, tile, natural stone, or vinyl floor. Mr. Floor's products have been cleaning up Chicagoland for over 35 years. Get 20% off MrFloor.com promo code. Use HouseSmarts. Congratulations, and how may I help you?
Well, thank you very much for taking the call. I appreciate it. The last couple of years, we've had frozen pipes in our kitchen on the north side of the house.
Mm.
It's a brick ranch in Arlington Heights. And last year we had tuck pointing done, which did not solve the problem.
Yeah.
I'm to the point now where I want to buy some straw bales and just put them up on the north side of the house.
So good luck. It does work. It's not uncommon. But let me ask you this. So the kitchen where it's freezing?
Yes, on the north side of the house.
And is the basement finished or unfinished?
It's partially finished. Right down below us is the laundry room that we've had kind of boxed in. We had a little remodeling done downstairs to make it look a little bit better.
But if I'm downstairs underneath the kitchen sink and I look up, do I see a bare ceiling or do I just see it's all finished?
No, you see a bare ceiling.
Okay. If you really want to solve this problem, what I would do is have a plumber come and reroute those plumbing pipes off the outside wall and come up through the floor of the kitchen sink cabinet and then reconnect everything there.
Okay, so just a plumber problem.
Well, I mean, otherwise, what are you going to do? Oh my gosh, I forgot to put the bale of hay outside. You know what I mean? And now the pipes are frozen. And if you're not going anywhere, you know, in other words, in my crystal ball, I'm going to be here another 10 years. You know, I'm just making this up. Get a plumber to come. Hey, this is where my problem is. They'll locate where the hot and cold water lines are. They'll abandon what's in the wall and repipe it and come up through the floor of the kitchen cabinet. Problem solved.
Oh, okay. Well, we have plumbers in the neighborhood, so that's going to be my next call.
Yeah. All right, sir. Happy holidays.
All righty. Well, thank you very much. Have a great holiday.
You too. I appreciate you calling this morning. 857-5574-LOOP. 918, 19, 20. That's what I'm going to do. I know I said this differently. When we come back, I'm going to set up. We got a really nice, years ago, how many years ago do you think you put together this Twas the Night thing? Probably 4 years ago?
Five.
It's really fun. It is fun for me, and I think you'll enjoy it, too. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, I'll set up what I'm going to do for a little holiday fun. Don't go away. We'll be right back. We found, our son Massimo found this recording that Lindsay, I'm sure, put together, years ago, where the Manfredini kids were reading "Twas the Night Before Christmas." And it brought back great memories, and it's from a number of years ago. The kids don't even, you know, they're all adults now. They don't even sound the same. Quinn still sounds the same. But I was like, oh, that's such a nice memory. It's such a sweet little thing. But then a number of years ago, I challenged Lindsay. I said, look, we got all these amazing voices on WGN, and we asked a bunch of people at WGN to help us do a little "Twas the Night Before Christmas." And it includes myself and includes Lindsay. And then some other voices that'll be quite familiar to you as well. And it always, this time of year, brings me great joy. So I hope you'll indulge me and that you'll enjoy this reading of "Twas the Night Before Christmas." "'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief, and I in my cap, had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap.
When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, and threw up the sash.
The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer.
With a little old driver, so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be Saint Nick. More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name.
Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donder and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all.
As dry leaves before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with the sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too.
And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot.
A bundle of toys was flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry.
His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke, it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly.
He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him, in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread.
He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work, and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, and lay his finger aside of his nose, and giving a nod, up that chimney he rose.
He sprung to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew, like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight,
"Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night! Ho, ho, ho!"
Merry Christmas, everyone. Oh, that's such a good, for us, it's such a good memory lane thing, right?
Yeah.
There's some, for those of you that have listened for a very long time, you may have heard Veronica Carter, which we love Veronica Carter. And I haven't talked to Veronica Carter in a long time. She had a beautiful voice. Domati Pongo, who's like killing it on MTV now. He's working really hard. And Steve Bertrand is there. He's now retired. Joe Brand now has a baby, right? I mean, it's incredible how time goes by. And it's fun. Lyle Dean, the skipper, on there. And Steve, and really fun.
That's so sweet.
It's so fun. So, Merry Christmas,
like a big,
everybody.
Warm hug.
It is a big warm hug. Speaking of a big warm hug, you know what movie we watched last night? And I'm sure you've seen it, and I've never watched it. And I think either John Williams was talking about it, or I can't remember. Maybe Bob Surratt.
Is it like a big warm hug?
The Holiday.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
You did?
Yes.
It is such a cute movie.
It is. It is such a good movie. It's become a fan favorite.
I'm telling you, I think I would date Jude Law. He's so cute and handsome in that.
I know. He looks really cute in that movie.
He's a handsome fella.
Yeah.
And he plays a really good role.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen this movie, it's 20 years old.
I know.
And it is...
Not for kids.
No. It's not really, not for kids.
I would not watch it with the girls. No.
There is nothing racy in it. Really?
Okay. In the beginning, like Cameron has Jude. I wouldn't watch it with my kids.
Okay. No, yeah, it's maybe, but it's not racy by any, not with kids.
No.
But it's Kate Winslet, who's lovely, and I've always been a fan of hers. Jack Black, where he's this crazy guy in Jumanji and all that other kind of stuff, he's very sweet in this movie, don't you think?
Yeah.
Like, it's this cute, sweet role, and Jude Law, of course, handsome fella, and Cameron Diaz.
Yes.
Who, Cameron Diaz, for me, there's certain things I like. I really liked her in this.
Yeah, me too.
Right?
It's a great flick.
It's a really good, if you're looking, and I guess it is a holiday. Yeah, it is a holiday, because it takes place during, it's 20 years old. I can give a little bit of away. Basically, these two ladies swap homes, L.A. and in England. And it was, and during the time 20 years ago, you know, now we're, you know, it is a little bit of a dated piece, right? Because now it's like, oh, Airbnb, of course, we're going to do all that. At the time, this was a novel kind of thing. And it's the juxtaposition between the two and a little love story. It's very sweet. my wife texting. It is not full of that. I mean, it's not explicit. There's...
I wouldn't want my kids asking any questions.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. There's a very sweet... There's a very sweet moment in the movie where... All I would say is Cameron Diaz's character gets involved with Jude Law's character. And there is a sweet moment where she goes to his house, right? Remember that scene? Don't give it away.
Okay.
And she discovers something about him. That is one of the sweetest things ever in a movie, right? What? What?
Nothing.
You're just, you know what I don't like about you is you and my wife gang up on me, and I don't like it. It's not fair.
Lou, what do you think of reusable furnace filters?
Sure. I mean, it doesn't bother me. I think that the biggest issue is that you got to do a really good job of cleaning them. And but overall, there's no downside to it. I don't know that they... I don't know that they lose any of their effectiveness, you know, over time. But, yeah, they're way better than the spun fiberglass, and it's a nice balance between replacement. And once you make that initial investment, if you're good about cleaning it, I would say that just like replacing filters, it's something you would probably do monthly during the highest use of your system.
Thanks, Lou. Next question. Lou, what is the best way to clean stains out of a porcelain sink?
Well, if it's white, it's really for toilets, but I guess you could try it. No, don't do this. I would use something like, I do really like scrubbing bubbles in a white porcelain sink because the oxygenation, the, how it kind of percolates, and you know, I love that word, does a really nice job and will kind of take the stain out. Wink is actually a toilet bowl cleaner, but it's for white porcelain. The sink is the same porcelain in your toilet, and that can do a really good job, but it is an acid, so you have to be very careful using it and wear gloves, and that can do a nice job too. But I would start with the scrubbing bubbles and like a plastic scrubbing pad, not a metal, because you'll scratch the finish on the porcelain.
Great. Thanks, Lou.
You're welcome.
Mr. Fix-It. I'm looking for a space heater I can leave on for a month. We're going to Florida for a month and have a laundry room with a sink in an outside wall. The pipe freezes when we have a super cold spell.
My favorite wall heater is by NV Heat. What's that website? Nvheat.com? E-N-V-I? No? E-Heat? E-Heat.com? Something like that? So they make... I have... So the house we bought in Evanston has hot water heat with radiators. It's great. But the office, the room that we call the flex room, where Mary Beth has her desk and does all the work for hardware stores and the businesses and whatnot... It's not, it's got a little chill to it. This is a very thin, I'm going to say it's not an inch and a half thick. Hangs on the wall and it uses convection. It's essentially an electric radiator. There's no oil in it or anything like that, but it's completely silent. Hanging on the wall, it has these two safety switches that when you hang it on the wall, if it were to come off the wall, it would not work. But once it's on, it's not going anywhere. You plug it in, and they have two different sizes, but I think the one we use is 500 watts of electricity. So it's very efficient. You turn it on, it's completely silent. It takes a good, like, it isn't like, it doesn't blow the heat. Like, you turn this on, you can feel it. But if you put that in a room and you allow it, the convection to work over a 24-hour period, it will raise the temperature in the room You won't hear a thing, and it'll do a really nice job. The website is eheat.com. E as an elephant, heat, H-E-A-T.com. And what are they? They're like $150, $140. There's different sizes, but they do a really nice job. 857-557-4LOU is our phone number. Let's do this. We are keeping the cold out and the comfort in. We're live from the PermaSeal Attic Insulation Studio. We'll line up a couple calls. We'll get back to those phone calls after we take a quick break. Don't go away.
I have a cabin up in the North Woods, and I'm on Long Lake.
Okay.
And we'd like to take expeditions to rustic dive bars. And one of the ones we've gone to over the years is buckwheats. Now
you're not going to say anything to get me in trouble, are you? I've been to buckwheats twice in my life.
Okay, well, the funny thing is we've known Joe over the years. She's quite a lady, but we were at the bar, and we look up on the wall, and there's a picture of her with you. And I'm going, oh, my God, that's Lou. Because you have to understand, we're in the middle of nowhere.
Uh-huh. Right? I mean, this is right. You realize that my time up there in the North Woods of Wisconsin is a lot like when people go to Las Vegas, right?
How's that?
Well, we don't want to talk about it. But yes, there is a picture of me in there at this bar called Buckwheats, which I've been to twice in my life, and I don't go there anymore. But yes, there is a picture of me up there. You're right.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought I would mention it. It was kind of funny. But by the way, my problem, do you have a place up in the North Woods? Because if you like those kind of crazy bars, I've spent years digging them out.
We actually, so on an annual trip, my buddy Mike Jakubowski, his brother Tony, it was something that his dad started years ago. His dad used to have a place up in Winter, not too far from up there.
That's right.
For years, we would go up there. His parents subsequently sold the place. But we now go to a game farm up there on an annual trip, Columbus Day. Basically, it's a father and son trip. And there's about 20 of us that go up there. And then, when we first started going, we were the young kids and there were the old guys. Now I'm the old guy and all the young kids, they all go to Buckwheats.
That's funny. Is the game farm Summit Lake?
Summit Lake Game Farm. To? That's right. Right. We rent a couple cabins there. We spend the weekend. It is a fabulous, fabulous get together. And we've been doing it now for, I want to say, 35 years, something crazy like that.
Well, when I was in there last, they told me that years ago, a few of the people from the Chicago Bears as a group would go up and hunt there.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. They're great people, and just it's a lovely spot.
Yeah, and the bar is all full of elk mounts,
right,
which is really cool.
Right, absolutely.
Anyway, I suppose we should get. Oh, this is one other thing. There's a bar not far from Summit. If you go next year, it's called the Junkyard Bar, and it's this huge, sprawling acres and acres auto pound that the guy collects. Junkers or people contribute them because it's rolling from a start. And you'll see everything from 1920s and 1950s Edsels and
really?
The old Cadillac. Oh, it's called the Junkyard Bar, and it's an experience. They have a wonderful bar with live music, and it's just west of Spooner, which wouldn't be that far.
Oh, yeah, sure.
From the
I know that area quite well, and if we're talking about bars up there, one year that we went up and did this weekend, I did my show from a bar called the Chit Chat Inn.
Oh, I go there all the time.
Yeah.
No. It sold in the last couple of years.
Correct. The owners the owners wanted me to buy it, and I was like, no, I'm not going to buy this bar, but I'm glad that they sold
it. Funny. Everything up there is for sale, and it's for sale for years and years. But yeah. I'm sorry to lose them. I mean, those bars, when they disappear, they're gone.
It's a slice of Americana, for sure.
Yeah. Anyway, I better get to my problem. We could talk quite a bit about the North Woods. I'm in Sauganash, and I experience backup sewer in the street. And I also have a problem with
lines clogging on me, and I thought it was tree roots and whatnot, and maybe it was, but I had my lines camera'd
okay.
to try and understand what I could do. So I have a main line that ends in the back of my house at the laundry room, and where it enters from the street, I put a check valve in years ago, a Jones check valve, and I would still back up. So about 10 years ago, I had it camera'd, and I looked at my blueprints, but the blueprints don't tell me the full story because they truncate the lines. You don't see them actually going to the street because okay. of the paper. So the camera 10 years ago, the guy told me that my gutters on both sides angle into my main line out to the street. To make it more difficult, there is another line that goes all the way to my catch basin and picks up my garage sewer and then goes to the street.
Right.
So I recently had it re-camered. This is 10 years later now, just the other day. And there's the resolution is so much better. And he says, no, the first camera guy's reading was wrong. There are no branch lines on your main line out to the street. So somehow I'm backing up, even though that check valve is in my basement. So a guy came and says what he could do is put the check valve outside of the house and excavate down. And when the same guy that camered the line says, I also have a couple of valleys that are causing my clogs, one of them more severe than the other. And he would excavate 10 feet and put in a stiff PVC type product
mm-hmm.
to straighten the line and then put in an outside check valve. Now, I see the concept should work, but I'm confused about these other lines that he didn't see that the other guy saw from my gutters. Do gutters ever go straight to the street?
Or are they always? So I used to live in Sauganash, so I'm a little familiar with how those houses were built. And you know, if you have a catch basin in the back, typically there's a line that ran from the sewer all the way back to the catch basin. And a lot of times that line, which would be dedicated to the catch basin, but it would also pick up some downspouts and head into the sewer. Now, I know the city wants you to disconnect all that and not overburden the sewer with rainwater. But a lot of times it's just not possible based on the design and the topography of your yard. And there could be multiple feeder lines coming from the house leading to the main sewer line. So ultimately,
on my main line, they would be separate runs to the
They would be separate runs and ultimately should curve back to the main line. So what's important is that if you're going to do the check valve out in the front yard, okay, which makes perfect sense, right? Because now we're coming from the city sewer backing up. Here it comes into your yard. I'm going to close the door and not allow it to get to you. But you got to make sure that check valve is not circumvented by another line teeing in or Y-ing into the sewer line in front of that. Does that make sense?
Well, it does. But the recent camera guy said that, no, they don't enter into my main line. They go straight to the street.
So if that's the case, then that check valve will do you no good on that other line.
Well, why? Because the gutters can feed back into my floor drains inside the house.
Well, if you're downspout again, I don't know exactly the setup of your system, but if your catch basin, okay, and now your catch basin line goes all by itself and connects to the city sewer, and there's a downspout that branches into that line, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now it's a heavy rainstorm, and the sewer's back up, And now that line going to the catch basin backs up, okay? You could overwhelm the catch basin, and it could back up. You know, water finds its path, right? So now I got this catch basin full of water backing up because the water from the roof is dying into that thing. If and when you do this catch basin, if it were me, if that line from the catch basin is running pretty close to the side of your foundation wall, I would have the guy reroute it so that it's on the back side of the catch basin. On the front side of the catch basin.
Yeah, I had thought the catch basin fed into my laundry room floor in my house. So I also had the catch basin had that line isolated with hydraulic cements. But this recent camera guy says, no, that's a line wouldn't have flooded me.
You need a really good sewer guy and a really good camera guy to make sure they know exactly where everything runs, so that if you're going to spend the money to do this check valve out in the yard, that it's actually doing its job. Because if there are branch lines that lead independently around that, you're going to spend all this money for nothing.
Yeah, but it was a good camera job.
Yeah, I understand.
It's just that
hold on one second. Because I got to take a break for news and get out of the way here. News is next from by the way, that's our last call. Sponsored by Mitsubishi Electric. When heating and cooling your home, Mitsubishi Electric is the last call you need to make. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. We'll be right back. No. No, that is at the end of the break. At 57? Really? You know, I should read a log.
You really should.
I should read the log. There's no 57 break. There's no 58 break.
It's
nothing.
It's only been 25 plus years.
Well, isn't there always a 57 break?
Well, let me finish.
Well, then I'm not gonna do a live read. Then I'm gonna finish with my caller here. I'm gonna go back to my caller here. Ray, you still there? Hold on, Ray.
Yes, I am.
We have a little technical. It's Christmas. You know, everybody's got. You know what? I got eggnog on the brain.
Well, I hear the deal is maybe I need a separate check valve. If there are no branch lines on my main line to the street, maybe what's going on, like you're saying, is my downspout line might branch into that catch basin line, and somehow that's connected to my floor drains. I don't know. But can you recommend somebody that's the best camera guy you know?
So there was a plumbing outfit that was a sponsor here. They're still on with David after me, but Center Guard Plumbing. And they're really good at figuring this stuff out. And I would talk to them about figuring it all out from a plumbing and sewer perspective so that you can invest the money the right way to keep that all out.
Yeah. I mean, this solution was estimated to be $14,800.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not an inexpensive proposition for sure. And so that's why you want to make sure you get somebody that really knows what they're doing. Okay. I appreciate you calling, and I hope that was helpful to you. I appreciate all of you listening. I wish you all a Merry Christmas. I wish you all a wonderful Hanukkah at the end of the year. Lindsay, Merry Christmas to you. Rob LaFrenz, Merry Christmas. Eli Burke, Happy Hanukkah. Bob Fukuda, thank you so much for engineering. As I mentioned, that was our last call this morning, and coming up next is more home improvement how-to. It's Home Sweet Home Chicago, sponsored by MegaPro's home repair, remodeling, and renovation experts. I hope you all have a lovely holiday season. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next Saturday with more House Smarts Radio. Enjoy the time together, everyone.